him and dance the whole day long.
Welcome back to the second half of our broadcast here on the Hebrew Nation Radio Network. The show you're listening to is Scholars Review, where we examine the works of scholars and teachers who speak to issues that are a point of discussion in the restoration of Yeshuic Judaism. I'm your host, Lee Miller, Congregational Leader of House of David Fellowship in Richmond, Virginia. To learn more about us and to access materials directly related to today's broadcast, visit our website at houseofdavidfellowship.com. or hodf.org. Okay, so here we are, beginning of segment two. And before we get into the scholarly review of Matthew 5:17, which is just 3 minutes away, I want to talk about behavior. We've mentioned behavior. It was established in segment one in multiple broadcasts. As the weeks go on, behavior is going to be brought up again. More verses are going to be presented about behavior. It's going to be referenced over and over again. Why? Because behavior is associated with Torah. It is important, and we're not going to let it go. So I want to go over one of those sections right here just so that I can plant the appropriate seeds, and this can be meditated on. This is not something you haven't seen before. Yeshua is the one who said this. So we're going to pick it up right at Matthew chapter 7. This is, you can read some context around the verses. I would suggest reading maybe starting at 18 or 19 and at least going through 23 to 25. You could read the whole thing, and that is fine. But this is the section that I want to address because I want to know who these people are. That's my question. Here it is. They say, Lord, Lord, to Yeshua. What group of people, this is rhetorical. What group of people say, Lord, Lord, to Yeshua? Yeah. Number two, they prophesied in his name, but it could be that this prophecy here, this word in the Greek, could mean teach, so it could be that they teach in his name. So they're teaching subjects probably about the scriptures or maybe something along that line, certainly related. So these people, who are these people? They say, Lord, Lord, and they teach in his name. Let's look at number three. Number three says, cast out demons in your name. We know pretty much what that is. So I say again, who are these people? And number four, done many wonderful works in thy name. All right, quick review. Lord, Lord, they teach, cast out demons, and do many wonderful works in the name of Yeshua. So, why is his response, depart from me, you that are, and the Greek is a nomos. Nomos is the word for law. A is for not. Therefore, depart from me, you that are not law-keeping. What does that mean? So, are you saying that Yeshua's comment in Matthew 22 about behavior, as far as love your neighbor as yourself, really has implications for the believers? I'm just throwing that out there. I've got a dozen more, and we're going to do them week after week. So as we get ready to do Matthew 5:17, the scholarly review today, please remember this section right here. Who says, Lord, Lord, and teaches in his name, and casts out demons, and many other wonderful works in his name, but are a nomos? That's where I'm leaving it. We just saw the section on behavior, the things that people say and do, and yet there's a section there that says you are not observing the law. That's what I take from that passage. Now we can take a look at Matthew 5:17 and find out what the relevance of importance is based on Protestant Christian commentaries only. I want to move into the other section and actually the actual arrangement of what this show's about, which is scholarly reviewing what these people are writing. So that's why I call it Scholars Reviewed, because there's going to be different scholars that we're going to bring on the show through their writings, their teachings. Sometimes it's a website. Sometimes it's just a journal article. I even had audio recordings. and we are going to examine them in light of the things that we're seeing and the things that we're understanding. But for right now, we're going to go back to the beginning being Yeshua starting out with how he wanted people to understand what he was saying. In each one of these, I'm going to give you some information, and then we're going to talk about it, and then we'll move to the next one. There are seven. Now, number six and number two are the same commentary, but I had to break it up because I had needed to address the work of Dr. Davies in number six, but then my favorite quote is in number two. So when we get there, it'll make sense to you. So right now, I am going to start with number seven, and we're going to count this down. Number seven is a Bible commentary for teaching and preaching. And don't forget, on the website is the information that you need to be able to find these items in your local library. Perhaps you want to purchase them and have them in your own personal library, and a variety of other options as well. But at least you'll be able to get the information in case you want to pursue these things. I personally use the ones that are in the library because my library is very good about this stuff. All right, so here we are. Number seven, a Bible commentary for teaching and preaching. It says, our starting point for uncovering Matthew's understanding of the passage must be in the context in which he has placed it. The starting point for uncovering Matthew's understanding of the passage must be the context in which he has placed it. And I'm a fan of context. I remember a presentation that I gave at the Feast of Tabernacles in Ardmore, Oklahoma in the year 2003. And the presentation contained a slide, and I said, what's the most important thing? And on it, it had context, context, context. Three bullets. And that is so very important. You must have the context. Oh, that's a subject we will really talk about. But anyway, here is a Protestant Christian commentary. Just recognize that. If we're going to understand Matthew's understanding of this passage, we need to be aware of the context in which he placed it. So he continues and he says, it serves as a preface to the antithesis which present Christ as the God-authorized interpreter of the law. All right, so we need to translate that second part into English, and I will do that. But let me read it again so I can get the quote right. It serves as a preface to the antitheses which present Christ as the God-authorized interpreter of the law. So what is he saying? Serves as a preface. A preface is that thing that comes before the big deal, the big discussion. Serves as a preface to the antitheses. Then it says verse 21 to 48. So what is happening in verse 21 through 28? This is where Yeshua says to the people, you've heard it said, and he goes, blah, 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 blah. Then he says, but I say to you, blah, 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 blah. So he is bringing to their attention the things that they've heard, that they know, and we're going to break this down in detail later on, but I just want to get it started here. It's a, this is a piece, and here is how you really do it right. And this is a piece that you know, you've heard this from old, but let me tell you what God's really looking for. And he breaks this down from 21 to 48. That is what he's saying. It serves as a preface to the antitheses, those examples of which Yeshua is going to straighten out what they've heard and what is actually God's requirement. And in the process of doing that, number seven says, which presents Christ as the God-authorized interpreter of Torah. Well, I mean, does that make sense? Who was it who came and said, I have come to tell you about the kingdom, about heaven, about how things operate? Why wouldn't he be the God-authorized interpreter of the law? Even Rabbinic Judaism wrote, and I think this is Genesis Rabbah, I'm going to go Genesis chapter 49. It's the discussion, I think, with Judah. And in one of the footnotes there, it states that when the Messiah comes, he will sort out our misinterpretations and correct them for us. Yikes. Did that not happen in the first century? So yeah, I know we got a disconnect. But I'm just saying We are recognizing what is going on. So here it is. We have to uncover the meaning, the understanding of Matthew, and we'll use the context for that. And then we'll recognize that this statement serves as a preface to the examples which present Yeshua as the God-authorized interpreter of the law. All right, that's number seven. Let's go to six. Number six, this is the word biblical commentary. And like I said, we're going to see this again in two, but I wanted to put this in because of what he says as we continue to build. All right, so here's what we got. In the section of the word biblical commentary that is in Matthew 5, 17 through 20, it's called Form, Structure, Setting. And the particular scholar, the A-list scholar here is Dr. Davies. And this is what he says. Christ's corrections of the mistaken understandings involve the presentation of the true meaning of the Torah, not its cancellation, as might at first seem to be the case. Oh my, let me read that again. Christ's corrections of the mistaken understandings, that's that antithesis, that group there, I think there's six or eight of them, his corrections of the mistaken misunderstandings involves the presentation of the true meaning of the Torah, not its cancellation, as might at first seem to be the case. And let me just speak to that right now. The problem is that with the Greek word there, and it's translated into English as fulfill, there's a whole lot of other passages in which fulfill is used to talk about, so a prophecy said that this was going to happen, and now it's been fulfilled. So now we're done with it. But here's the problem. Those particular ones where the word is translated from the Greek, same Greek word, fulfill, into the English fulfill, in which it's a prophecy and now it's done, the voice is passive. In this particular passage, the voice is active. And when you miss that, it completely changes the meaning, but Dr. Davies caught it. So he is seeing that corrections of the mistaken understandings involve the presentation of the true meaning of the Torah. That's what the active voice brings to this verse. Whereas if you consider it as the passive voice because you don't even look it up, then you get not its cancellation as might at first seem to be the case. Very strong, very strong. Okay, that's number six. That was the word biblical commentary. Let's keep on going. We are now at number five. Number five, the Brodmann Bible Commentary of the Bible. It says, in contrast to the Pharisees, Christ brought out the true and deeper meaning of the law. Now, I just want to remind you people who are listening to this, I am not quoting Messianic scholars. I am not quoting Jewish scholars. I am quoting Protestant Christian scholars who are writing these books, these commentaries. These are the professors in the seminaries that are teaching the pastors that you might know right down the street. These are the guys who are their teachers. They're writing this. And Brodmann Bible Commentary says, in contrast to the Pharisees, Christ brought out the true and deeper meaning of the law. Can that be much more clear? That's number five. Let's go to number four. The Greatest Text of the Bible by James Hastings. Okay, so Dr. Hastings quotes Dr. Plummer, okay? So here we go. It says, it is not the law or the prophets that Christ proposes to abolish, but the traditional misinterpretations of these authorities. Now, I'm going to read it again because that's what I do. I read things again. It is not the law or the prophets that Christ proposes to abolish, but the traditional misinterpretations of these authorities. All right, so let's break it down. We're talking about the law. We're talking about the prophets. That's good. It's not that Christ is trying to abolish that, but there has been some misinterpretations, the traditional misinterpretations. And that's not the end of this. Look at what he says. He's trying to abolish the traditional misinterpretations of these authorities, the Torah, Moses, and the prophets, are the authorities, and Yeshua is trying to abolish the misinterpretations. Yeah, you heard me right. Yes, you did. I'm serious. So that is the quote by James Hastings of the quote by Dr. Plummer. But wait, I'm not finished with number four. He goes on to say, by quoting Dr. Meyer, yes, this guy is a quoter. I'm a quoter. He's a quoter. It says, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Now, look, catch this. Sit on the edge of your seat. Make sure your seatbelt is fastened and listen to this quote. The fulfillment of the law and the prophets is their fulfillment by the reestablishment of their absolute meaning. I got to read that again. You know I do. You know I have to read it again. The fulfillment of the law and the prophets is their fulfillment by the reestablishment of their absolute meaning. Come on, people. Come on, I mean, we need to be in a football stadium and we're leaping out of our chairs and screaming and yelling because that's what this quote is telling me. The reestablishment of their absolute meaning. I talked about this in segment one. Oh, this is good. This is so good. This is so good. I love this stuff. Okay, that's the end of number four. Now we're getting to number three. This is the Anchor Bible. The Anchor Bible, big deal, by F.A. Albright and C.S. Mann. Oh my goodness. Okay, here we go. Much hangs on the meaning of the verb to fulfill. The verb can and frequently does convey the meaning of to clarify the true meaning of something. Certainly, it can be argued that what Christ is doing in this legal material of Matthew 5 through 7 is trying to restore the original meaning of the law where this seemed to be obscured by the accretions of commentary. Oh, my goodness. Good stuff. This is good stuff. I'm going to read it again. Got to read it again. Much hangs on the meaning of the verb to fulfill. The verb can and frequently does convey the meaning of to clarify the true meaning of something. Certainly, it can be argued that what Christ is doing in this legal material of Matthew 5 through 7 is trying to restore the original meaning of the law of the Torah, where this seems to be obscured by the accretions of commentary. Oh, I want to tell you about that right now, but I'm going to hold myself back and strap myself to this chair and wait until I get to number two, which, oh, look at that. We're at number two. This is the word biblical commentary again. Okay, are you ready? Here is the opening quote, one of my favorites. Do not think that I came presupposes the existence of the opinion that is denied. If you understood that on the first pass, raise your hand and give yourself a high five. Yeah, that's what you heard me right. Raise your hand and give yourself a high five. I'm reading it again. Do not think I came presupposes the existence of the opinion that is denied. And as I have done before, when I have shared this, I say, let's translate this into English a little bit slower. And here's what you get. He has in quotes, do not think I came, which is the part, that's right out of the text of Matthew 5:17. Do not think I came presupposes the existence of an opinion. Do not think that I came presupposes the existence of an opinion. So that means that coming into Matthew 5:17, Yeshua's talking, there is an opinion, and I'm going to explain it to you momentarily. There is an opinion. Do not think I came recognizes the existence of that opinion and is going to deny that opinion. All right, so now that you know what this is about, let's listen to it again. Do not think I came presupposes the existence of the opinion that is denied. Yes, we will break that down. Here it is fair to assume that Christ's sovereign interpretation of the law was so out of step with contemporary interpretation that it seemed to many that he was going against the law. Okay, continuing. It is best to understand fulfill here as in the sense of bring to its intended meaning. This view is consistent with the expectation that the Messiah would not only preserve the Torah, but also bring about its meaning in a definitive manner. And guess who they quote? Dr. Davies in Settings, which I was number six. That was my number six. So, final piece of number two. In other words, the law, as interpreted by Christ, will remain valid until the close of this age. Oh, my goodness. How amazing. How amazing is this? Oh, just amazing. So, I want to go back to the beginning of this so that I can make sure that I am clear on what is said. Do not think that I came presupposes the existence of the opinion that is denied. What is important here, as you can see, there is something that he's been changing. And what he's been changing is the oral tradition. There are some things that were not right. They were wrong. They needed to be removed. But for the first century Judaisms, and that's all the Judaisms as far as I know, the oral tradition and the written law had been intertwined, almost like a cancer in the body. And so they were one. That's why you get these crazy statements like Peter in Acts 10 where he says, you know, it's against the law for me to be here. No, it's not. He thinks the oral tradition and the law is one thing, but it's not. Yeshua is changing that, and Paul addresses that in Ephesians 2, 11 through 15. A whole nother discussion. But anyway, this whole thing is, do not think that I came to lessen the requirements of the Torah that God gave. No, I've come to make clear the meaning that God intended of the Torah that God gave. The oral tradition, that's a whole nother matter. And we're going to deal with the book that addresses that, but that's another day. All right, so let's keep going. That was number two. I read the last part of that quote going into number one. It says, in other words, the law, as interpreted by Christ, will remain valid until the close of this age. And now, drum roll, please. Number one, the International Critical Commentary. Here's what it says. The meaning of the words is clear. Christ did not come to overthrow the authority of the Mosaic Law, which was to be eternally binding upon the hearts and consciences of men. So long as the world lasted, its authority was to be permanent. Commentators have exhausted their ingenuity in attempts to explain away this passage, but its meaning is too clear to be misunderstood. I got to read it again. You knew that was coming. You knew that was coming. The meaning of the words is clear. Christ did not come to overthrow the authority of the Mosaic Law. Did you get that? Did not come to overthrow the authority of the Mosaic Law, which was to be eternally binding upon the hearts and consciences of men. So long as the world lasted, its authority was to be permanent. Commentators have exhausted their ingenuity in attempts to explain away this passage, but its meaning is too clear to be misunderstood. So, who was I quoting? Was I quoting Skip Mowen? Nope. Rico Cortez? Nope. Brad Scott? Nope. Tim Haig? Nope. I was quoting Protestant Christian scholars in their textbooks that pastors go to seminary to read, study, and learn, in which they are talking about what Yeshua did in Matthew 5:17. And so, what can I say? What can I say? As you can see, this is where we are, and this is where we're going. Thank you. With that, we've come to the end of today's broadcast. We hope that the material presented has brought enlightenment and will help you with resetting the narrative as regards the first century. Don't forget to visit our website, houseofdavidfellowship.com, HODF.org, to access materials directly related to today's broadcast. This is Lee Miller signing off as we celebrate with David Dance.